Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, The Deep Dive, featuring your esteemed hosts, Andy Monitor and Drew Dinzik, powered by BetSperts.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Thankfully, not talking Sweet 16 or college basketball today because I am still dealing with swollen nuts from the swift kick that I got in week one. My goodness gracious, college basketball reminded me with authority that I do not know what I'm talking about over the weekend.
Who is the guy? Who is the guy that was in the photo when Anthony Edwards dunks for the other team?
It was John Collins.
John Collins. Yeah, you got you're John Collins.
I got
Collins. I feel like a bunch of people had some rough goes of it.
Yeah.
And it is funny. I mentioned this. Like, I filled out a bunch of brackets, and it wouldn't let me enter anymore. So I did another one. Finally, I just did one, and I hit the autofill where it just went favorites all the way.
Yeah.
And I didn't change that. That one's doing the best of all my brackets.
Of course.
And it's not particularly close.
This is really the chalkiest Sweet 16. This has got to be the most. We haven't had all the ones and twos here going back like 10, 20 years. Like, it's been a long time since we had this many ones and twos through.
Yeah. I feel blessed that I made money on my 12 through 15 thing.
Oh, you did. Thanks to Oakland and
Yale.
And then, the Yale upset was crazy. Yeah,
Oakland, Yale, and then was there 12? It was like scraping by.
If St. Mary's lost, St. Mary's was a huge favorite. Yeah,
this is not the shocker symbol. This is a Bissell Brothers Brewing out of Portland, Maine. I only own three kinds of T-shirts, guys. Somebody gave me one because it's like a sports betting company. A beer one I got on vacation. Or True Classic Tees, because they tricked me into buying like 30 with a button. They gave me YouTube ads for like 2 years. Fine, I will buy the 15-pack shirts. They're actually very comfortable, but this is a good one. It is a Battlehawks year. We're going to get into the draft. I did my second mock today. Mock drafts are impossible. We're going to moving on to football. I sent it to Drew. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I don't think a lot of time should be spent on this quite yet. And I don't think we're going to give you any actual info, but there was a bunch of rule changes. Probably should talk about it. I mean, just give me a yay or a nay on how you feel it'll improve or worsen the product from a watching, betting, fantasy, all of it, in, all encompassing standpoint. The kickoff rule. And we're not even going to sit and try to explain it because it is a little complicated, and you will have a graphic on every single game for like the first quarter of the season. But the kickoff rule for me is a yay because of what they did to the kickoff over the past few changes. They ruined the kickoff. Like, what, 75% of them were just touchbacks. So you go commercial, touchback, commercial. Now it's actually going to be a play. Did you get sucked into some XFL rabbit hole
watching a few of those? I watched four or five
right away.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is fine. Good rule. Thank you for doing something because the kickoff was lacking any juice. This has potential to add juice to the kickoff. So thank you. I would say my favorite part of it was the John Boy tweet where it was basically like, it's like the receiving team must acquiesce. It's like,
I read that.
Yeah, that all of the detail there was quite funny, and so
honestly, it was really pretty close.
The kickoff rule, fine.
That's my favorite rule. I'm going to go from favorite to least favorite. Second favorite is they're going to allow the instant replay official to make quick changes if they say, "Hey, that wasn't roughing the passer. He was out of the or that wasn't what was the other one? That isn't intentional grounding." They can call down and fix it, say he was out of the tackle box. They can say that clearly was close to a receiver or something like that. So
yeah,
I like that.
They
can call down and fix things. Well, no,
that was second favorite rule is the NFL is going to play on Christmas. Fuck yeah. That was a great one. Anyway, everyone would be like, bye to my family. No, fuck that. You sit around and watch football with your family anyway on Christmas. Get out of here.
The thing is, if you weren't sitting around and watching football on Christmas, you know what you'd be doing?
watching basketball.
You'd be sitting around watching the NBA.
Yes, obviously. This was great for everybody except for Adam Silver. He's probably pulling whatever hair he has left in his eyebrows out. The general Christmas rule, like, fuck yes. Although the NFL has its work cut out for them because they put basically the most important regular season game in Christmas primetime last year. So they're going to have to figure out the most important regular season game and get it in Christmas primetime this year.
I don't know how they managed that, but yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was a long weekend, man, of all those games, because you had Christmas Eve and Christmas. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
What else? So keep going down the rule changes that you were.
I mean, that wasn't really a rule change.
I know.
I'm with you.
It's a policy change. It's a policy change.
I do love it. The trade deadline moving, again, that's not like a huge, oh my gosh, this is going to make the sport so much better. Sure. But I mean, that was one of those, let's do it now because we're just going to add an 18th game anyway here soon. So
I'm hopeful that that's like a move it to the 9, move it to 10, move it to 11, yeah. Move it to 12. Like they're just kind of gradually going to push it way back, and they should, clearly.
Yeah, it does make sense. I don't think with the way that football works, it turns teams into like sellers like you have in baseball. Baseball has such a robust minor league system.
Dude, you might as well because that gives you an opportunity to play your kids.
You can, well, not only that, but you can rebuild a lot faster in football if you do a little tanking.
Yeah.
So I think I do like it quite a bit. The extra challenge is a meh for me. So if you aren't caught up on that one, if you got your first two challenges right, you were awarded a bonus third. Now, because of the, you know, everybody gets a trophy and, you know, 60% is a D-minus now, guys. You only have to get one of two right.
They brought D-minuses in?
Third challenge. Yeah, I don't
know. Is there an F-plus too?
There's probably an F-plus. That was my favorite. Right. My favorite thing about the total non-sequitur here, the NFL grades, the player grades that they did, that the fact that there was an F-minus, they're like, we had to let people know, like, you got less than 50%. This is an F-minus. But no, either way, you only have to get one of the first two right, and you are awarded a third, which is kind of a tough hang because, in general, I'd say, like, the majority of coaches and coaching staffs aren't great at challenging anyway.
Yeah, no, I think we should be more in the phasing out of challenges and more in the just replay official does it all. That should be the trajectory we should be on. Who knows?
I think it was Link, our friend Link Calhoun, we were talking about this. Like, the fact that we have the spider cam, like, there needs to be 9 of those. And like, just pay some, you know, what would you have to pay a ref to sit in a chair and just watch 2 or 3 spider cams every play and make quick decisions on that instead of having, you know, 60-year-old dudes trying to keep up with the greatest athletes on the planet. Like, I can, it is, you know, it is one thing I've mentioned this in the past, but when you are, if you've never played or reffed or coached, it's so much different when you're at ground level. Like, we get the advantage of seeing everything on TV from all the good angles, or even if you go to a game, you're so high up, like, it is so much harder to see shit when you're down on the field. Like, even just I was at a high school game, and, you know, I was leaning on the fence watching, and I like couldn't see half the players. I'm like, I need to get higher. This sucks. I can't see what's going on. Like, who wants to watch from watching from the sidelines is some great. I'm walking on the sidelines. That actually sucks. You can't see anything. So when do they put up points of emphasis? There was a whole tweet with other stuff. There's other little small things. I'm sure you're probably right, Gil. We'll hear more about that. The only other last one we left it for last was the hip drop rule. I'm not going to legislate this, but Dean Blandino did say basically, like, he's worried. He's like, yeah, this is going to be a tough one for, like, there's going to be mistakes and, like, bad. It's going to be tough to, like, get everyone on the same page because it is a little more subjective. Hopefully, Milf Hunter brings up a good point. Like, hopefully they'd like make announcements after the first preseason week, be like, hey, here's like 5 calls for hip drop rule. And here's why we called it. Here's a play we didn't call it on. You can do this. And teams can like work with that with their defensive players. The worst part is when they just don't know. Like, I'm not 100% sure what you're going to call me on. Can I dive? Am I allowed to dive? My body's, you know, I'm unweighting my body at that point. So, it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be messy to start.
I think the refs are probably just going to not call it unless it's like
an obvious important one. Yeah.
That's the way these rule changes always feel like they go this way, where they're like, hey, refs, do this. And the refs are like, fuck off. We're calling the game fairly as it is, you know, and ultimately after, you know, there's one big Monday night one that doesn't get called and people all like, that's the main talking point on Tuesday. Then the refs are like, fine, we'll start calling it. But like, I think the worst sign of the hip drop rule was, I want to say I read two quotes by Rich McKay, who was effectively responsible for like the implementation or the written language, and it didn't sound like he described the rule the same way both times. And then one time it was like implication was, yeah, this will happen like maybe once a week, which feels right from my recollection of seeing it. And then the other one was, he was like, yeah, like probably like once a game. And it's like, once a game, like you're gonna add
a lot. That's a lot more.
What? Once a game? Like that sounds crazy. And I think ultimately it's probably close. It's gonna be closer to once a week type of deal. And we may go 8 weeks without ever seeing one. So I'm not gonna lose my shit over it until we actually see what happens. But I don't think any of this shit impacts totals or sides appreciably.
No, I mean, a penalty, a 15-yard penalty by the defense is going to ultimately be a pretty decent EPA bump for that drive. But, I mean, at the same time, who knows? I mean, who knows how often this, like you said, if this is only one per week, that's, let's say we add 1 or 2 points of EPA to that drive. You know, maybe you score one more point on that drive on average then. So one or two games goes up by 1 point. You're talking a very, very negligible change. So I don't know. We'll see how often they call it. If it's if it's getting called 2-3 times a game in every game, then suddenly it's like, oh, scoring went up by like a full point, point and a half. Like the things.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a possible it gets called aggressively in the preseason also, and it changes the way defenders play. And that could have an impact on just tackling and yards after the catch and shit like that. Like that's possible. But so, you know, I'm gonna have soft judgment on a lot of this stuff until we actually see what in the world.
I hope you're right though. I hope they kind of let it go if it's marginal, and they'll only call it if it's like he caught up to him, he clearly twisted, dropped, and like landed on the offensive player's legs. Like, hey, there was a chance of a penalty or an injury there. Or the guy actually got injured. It should be like in hockey where it's a worse penalty if the guy's bleeding. It should be like, you know, if the guy got hurt, then, I mean, you'd have guys faking it, but that's funny too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, yeah. Hey, if less guys are getting hurt because of this, then great. Good job. We'll see. All right. So let's get to the meat of the podcast. We are a month away from the NFL draft. Lots of things are happening. Pro days are going on. Although the buzz does feel a little bit less in your face than it has the last couple of years for some reason. I don't really know why that's a me thing or if it's just a general kind of vibe. But yeah, I'm kind of more into the NBA and you know, tennis right now than I'm plugged into the draft. So it's the usual
suspects, Drew. They're giving it their all, and
yeah,
we're at a weird point where, and I mentioned this, I don't know if I articulated it well enough in the newsletter, but you know, a lot of the mid-range guys that aren't like, hey, I'm Daniel Jeremiah and I'm putting out version 3 right now, like me, like the shitty mocks.
Sure.
You know, the people who are, you know, they have to put it up because their editor is saying we need another mock draft every week. Those guys, there's no new information. So they take anything like, oh, Harbaugh said nice things about offensive linemen. And they put a mock draft together where the Chargers take an offensive lineman. They put together a mock draft where Neighbors goes fourth because of his good. And then they put that clearly in the headline. So you click on it and it's not a mock draft that you should take seriously. It's a mock draft, you know, again, designed to get you to click on it because they don't have any new information. They can't just sit and put the same mock they did that last week. They got to do something. And, you know, it is kind of sit around and wait till we actually get some useful information from some of these teams. We're starting to get more pro days. Obviously, LSU had theirs today. We're going to see more of that. We're going to see more of these, you know, some of the leaks coming out from, you know, people connected to agents, people connected to some of these players, to some of these teams. You're going to start to hear some stuff through the tea leaves. You're going to see that, you know, who visits who. Who takes some time and goes and, you know, sits down for dinner, like neighbors and the Giants and things of that nature. But, you know, for the most part, it's a lot of guessing. And, you know, we're not completely done with free agency. You know, most of the pieces have fallen into place, but, you know, we saw Clowney land somewhere. That didn't really help anybody's first round mock. The Panthers don't have a pick, but, you know, gosh, who's the corner that signed with the Rams? Tre'Davious White. Yeah.
Trey White. Yeah.
Like in my first mock, I had the Rams picking a corner because there hadn't been one picked for a few. There were some decent options. I'm like, oh man, they could use another corner. And then obviously it was a need. So I'm putting a check mark. That was a right pick. It's just not going to be once we get to the draft. So.
Okay. All right. Well, in the spirit of kind of talking about the draft, let's look at your mock and find out if you're a James Worthy mocker or an AC Green mocker. I think the general challenge at this time of year is literally kind of figuring out team need first and foremost. And I think you did a good job of that as I kind of evaluate this. But let's go from the top, and I'm going to kind of grill you on some of this stuff. Why don't you just go ahead and kind of lay out how you see the first five picks playing out for the people who don't have the visual aid.
I like Caleb Williams to go first. He's a good quarterback, and he plays for the University of Southern California Trojans. I think the Bears are enamored with him. There is some buzz. No, Jesus Christ, I'm going to take this time. I'm not going to talk about the other four. I will list them, but I'm going to take some time to scold Bears Twitter. Can you guys be fucking normal for one day? Like the pink phone stuff. You guys, stop with that. I just chill. Like, we got to just chill. It's been one of the weirdest fan bases for the entire last 16 months, you guys. But anyway, yeah, Caleb Williams. I like Drake May. I think the people that I trust aren't out on Drake May like some of the folks are. So I went Williams, Drake May, and then Jaden Daniels. Okay. I still, you know, we'll have to see. Minnesota and Chicago are going to be the crux of the top 10.
Okay, let's stop
Minnesota
there.
Trades.
Let's stop there.
Because I put a trade in.
Let's stop there. Caleb Williams won. I think we can let that ship sail. Yep. Drake May 2 is an interesting call. Because to this point in the cycle, if I'm keeping track correctly, there was a wave of Daniels hype for 2. In fact, actually, you can get a decent sized bet this moment. Chris rehung their draft choices, and Jaden Daniels 2 is -187. Now you can only win $1,000 per click, but they'll let you click to your heart's content if you actually had the goods, and it's still sitting there at -187. I'm with you in that I don't think that's a done deal at all. I saw a picture today. He's got a very weird elbow. And I think
that's a good diet. I skipped lunch after I saw that.
But no, in seriousness, the idea of the Commanders kind of having, you know, kind of, I think if you're reading the tea leaves, they hire Cliff Kingsbury. People figured or are assuming that Daniels is a better fit with Kingsbury as your offensive coordinator, so they're going to go in that direction. Sometimes that works out. Sometimes that doesn't. Sometimes they just kind of just do a neutral evaluation on who's the most likely future, you know, best player, and it very well could be May. What did you make of the rumoring that was it Tom Pelissero, who's, you know, pretty plugged in guy, albeit he completely dropped the ball for us this year when it came to awards previews. Thanks for nothing, Tom. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, you're better off not knowing. What generally did you make of the fact that there has been now hype for Daniels and hype for McCarthy going to, and no hype for Drake May? Like, is this literally the Commanders kicking around other alternatives just to see if they can induce some type of feeding frenzy because they know so many teams want quarterbacks? Or what's your read on this situation?
Yeah, it just and also we just haven't had the, you know, we haven't had the Drake May reason to be hype yet. By the time you listen to this podcast, if you, you know, if you're a podcast listener and you don't take this in live and you're listening to this on Thursday, today will be Drake May's pro day. Like, we'll probably see some Drake May North Carolina hype. Like, it's it just kind of goes in waves. Like, you know how you have the hype of the guys who get fast times or really big broad jumps in the combine. And then obviously the Jaden Daniels stuff, which is, you know, some of the throwing he's done. And then obviously today with the pro day, the JJ McCarthy stuff, I think they just took it and ran a little. I mean, go look at some of the mocks from in the middle of the summer or in the middle of the year. The JJ McCarthy was pretty far down the list. Like the hype for him to be a top 10 pick, like that was the hype. Like the hype was real. I don't know if we need to push him all the way to second. That seems a little bit much, but I don't know. I'm not a talent evaluator. I don't have time to watch all this film from all these college games. I'm going to go with the guys who've, you know, led me in the right directions in the past. And I'm leaning May over Daniels at two, but Sam in the chat to his point, he says, I don't think Washington knows yet. I think that is the where I'm at. Okay. It's kind of a placeholder at this point. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of hype we get after May's pro day here on Thursday, the 28th.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, so Sam's points are fair. The Hep's points. This is a Giants want May smoke. That's a very, very interesting point, Hef. Because the Giants have been kind of the kings of lying season a lot. And at pick six and with signing Drew Lock and having Daniel Jones coming off an ACL, I can't imagine that they're entirely out of the quarterback consideration pool. That's not crazy. Moving down to, and I guess if the Commanders trade down from two, would you be blown away or the, I think it's like pretty high likelihood they pick second.
I would take the guy I want unless somebody, you know, unless the Patriots are that desperate to move up and they want the other guy.
So much of the rest of their free agency, I'm still scratching my head. Like, what are these guys?
Yeah, I think they're fine if they like a guy and they don't think he can win right away. Yeah. I think that's almost perfect. Like, this is the guy we like, but we don't think he's 100% ready. That's kind of good for your team because your team isn't fucking ready.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
okay.
Like the Bears.
Let's stay right on that note. Yeah. Go ahead.
Back to the Bears. And maybe I am staying on that note. The fact that the Bears are, you know, like what?
Ready.
Somewhere in the, honestly, middle of the pack.
Talented. They have a talented roster.
They have a fairly talented roster.
Yeah.
Like, as far as quarterback situations go, you know, maybe Caleb Williams gets drafted in some alternate universe by the Commanders or some other bad team, or God forsake the Panthers if it hadn't worked out last year, and he just never makes it. But sometimes I can't help but think about like the multiverse of drafting where the guy ends up in such a good position and it's like, oh, he's really good. It's like, was he or did he just land in the, you know, such a good spot with two really high-end receivers and, you know, an offensive line that's starting to come together and an up-and-coming defense? And, you know, it's a tough division, but, man, talk about, you know, all the scuttlebutt, you know, like 6 months ago. Oh, is he going to spurn the Bears and pull an Eli? Is he going to not want to play in Chicago? Like, I don't care what you feel about the weather, the city, or the stupid bean. Like, there has not
or the terrible been Twitter Bears Twitter people. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the fans. Like, there hasn't been a better landing spot for a while.
Yeah. I tend to agree. It does feel very, very hand in glove.
The opposite of the Patriots.
Yeah. And hey, look, I'm not here to give Ryan Poles all the flowers in the world because he did do some super dumb shit like signing DeAndre Swift to this contract that he did. But he does at least have a talented roster to plug a young quarterback into and presumably find relatively quick success. Although that's going to depend a lot, I guess, on the offensive scheme and system, which are still going to be a little bit to be determined, I suppose. Okay. The Commanders not ready to win, taking a project. Fine. taking Daniels, I feel less good about because he's old. And I think just kind of under my current operating thesis that new regimes do stupid shit. I'm kind of prepared for the Commanders to do something dumb, like take an old quarterback who's not ready to win on the team that they have now and expect it to work and be surprised in 3 years when they're back in the same spot, taking another quarterback in this exact same spot. But that said, the taking May would be, I would give them a higher degree of, oh, maybe they're figuring this out faster than I thought. Than if they took Daniels. But this is, again, relatively uninformed opinion. The Patriots are really the interesting one. This is the least talented roster in the NFL, and it's not close. Especially on the offense, like the skill position group, the offensive line, this is a bad, bad team. If you try to plug and play a rookie quarterback, they are going to be picking first overall next year. I think pretty high likelihood.
I would start him.
Difficult division, difficult everything. Games, yeah. Like a difficult everything. I'm not exactly sure who you would necessarily be targeting in next year's draft because I don't think there are as many blue chip guys at the top of the draft. Maybe they're maybe we just don't know about them yet. I mean, if you're kind of looking at this in a reality, you know, with a little bit of clear eyed focus, like you're probably going to have a decent chance to be picking first overall next year if you just start Jacoby Brissett all 18 games or whatever, 17 games. Anyone. And I think that the three is going to be coveted for trade opportunities. When you were putting together your mock, talk me through the reason you gave the Patriots a quarterback instead of trading out of the three.
It's just so much for Minnesota, Denver or Las Vegas to put together to get to three. You know, everybody holds these charts to such high regards where everything has a, you know, we're past the Jimmy Johnson stuff, but everyone has their own, you know, grades for what each position in the draft is worth. And, you know, you have to come up with something close. And it just feels like if, you know, let's say the Chargers or the Cardinals want to play ball instead, you know, if your guy is McCarthy anyway, why would you have put together such a much bigger package to get to three? It's a big ask to get to three rather than five or maybe even six, which I don't think six is a reality now that we've heard the comments from Mara and some of the Giants beat guys saying that, like, quarterback is still on the table. So I think the only way three becomes a reality is if the Giants decide they're trading.
Okay.
Minnesota still could, but it's a king's ransom to get up that high, I think. So a little worried that they just don't have it. So I just penciled in Jaden Daniels for now. And then I left the Cardinals alone because Jesus Christ, it's just like, hey, do you want, like, you know, it's like the Packers getting another quarterback. Hey, do you want another, like, Larry Fitzgerald? Do you want just like a guy who's going to catch everything for like 10, 15 years? Like, this could be it. This could be, usually you build around a quarterback and a good left tackle, but this is a guy you could totally build around. So I left it there. And then I did opt for, you know, Minnesota's not doing all this shit for nothing. They are going to try to trade up. So I gave, I don't remember what I had to do to convince PFF's mock thing that it was a good enough trade, but I did give both first round picks to the Chargers. And something else in exchange for like the fifth and a third rounder back. So yeah, it's so hard to see Marv on the table and they don't take him. So I did it. I put four quarterbacks in the top five.
Okay. Percentage in your mind that the Cardinals do trade out of four?
Really? 20, 30. Okay. It feels like they almost have to have something in place to trade back up.
Okay.
Or they like neighbors better. And they're fine. Sure. Like, hey, guess what? You know, we're going
one of these guys.
You know, we're going to trade out. Maybe the quarterback goes, and then the Chargers take Marv. And at that point, the only concern would be, does it go Marv neighbors, and you're not getting, unless you like Rome, and you're fine getting the third best wide receiver at that point. For, you know, it's not a team maybe that's ready to compete either with their roster. So if they like, you know, the Washington product, Adunze, am I saying it right? maybe it's a trade back slash trade back up. Cause okay. I don't think he's there at 11, 12 or 13. Certainly okay. not with some of the teams that would want to grab somebody there. But it'd be interesting if it went four quarterbacks and two wide receivers right off the bat. And it's not going to be a very defensive first round, guys. Yeah. It's going to be a 66-33 kind of split the way the numbers sit right now.
Okay. So percentage chances that the Chargers trade out of five, I imagine that's conditional on what happens at four, right? Like, we're not going to get resolution on this until pick five is on the clock, right? Because if like the Chargers, like if somebody trades into the four to take the fourth quarterback, then game over, man. Like, the fifth pick is now it's lost all its luster. It's lost all its value. You're not getting the king's ransom for it. You might as well just take best player available. If the four goes
and wide receivers Harrison, a need, yeah,
and wide receivers a need. If Harrison goes four, then all of a sudden you do have the leverage of getting a team in line ahead of the Giants. Do you think that sort of this prevailing wisdom of the crowd that the Vikings are going to five, does that move the needle in favor of a trade into four? Like, you know, like just having some general sense that that's likely, does that change the calculus?
It does, but at the same time, the Vikings have two first rounders. The Raiders and the Denver Broncos do not. I don't know if they have the powder to fire off a trade to get to four. It'd be just, you know, you'd be giving away a lot next year. And obviously next year's stuff, it just isn't nearly as valuable.
Sure.
So I don't know if they could. It would be more of like, oh, the Giants moved up. And then at that point, I guess Minnesota is just, you know, screwed, blued, tattooed. Take your first two round picks and find some other spots. And I guess it's a Sam Darnold year. Oof. Yeah, Minnesota may have to give up, you know, next year's first rounder to acquiesce to make this happen. But it does seem like they want to. So that's why I don't like trades and mocks. But the team does this much, you know, this much signal, I'm going to put one in.
Okay. Preemptive grade for Minnesota doing this. This is sort of the same kind of deal as the Caleb Williams situation where, like, it almost feels like you don't even really need to talent evaluate these top quarterbacks. You can just kind of say, this guy's going to work out. This guy's going to work out. This guy's not. This guy's not, based entirely on situation this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Bears can kind of take
whoever. And that's another one, too,
where,
like,
the Vikings can take whoever it's going to work.
McCarthy in New England versus McCarthy with Minnesota with
two very different outcomes, right? There's two very
JJ in the top. I mean, just JJ alone, Justin Jefferson, not JJ McCarthy, and the two tackles. Like, having that and nothing else puts you 10 steps ahead of landing in New England at this point. So if you're McCarthy, you're hoping this is how it works out.
Yeah, I feel like there's two very good landing spots for quarterbacks, and there's like five very bad ones.
And Patrick points out a good point, too. And a good offensive mind.
Yeah, good scheme at KOC. Yeah, that's right.
We think we're in on him.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to the mock. And if the Giants are not playing, if they're not playing the smokescreen game, then they take the speedster from LSU, who went a 4.35 today by some accounts.
Yeah. I mean, even if that's a little off, he's a 4.4 guy. He's fast. He's good. He's athletic. He's a freak. This is a good one, too, obviously. Don't have to tell you guys, for the top two wide receivers, hell, the top three. So, yeah, I penciled Neighbors in there. I don't know how they could not want that. A team that just hasn't had that guy for a while, that's going to be probably pretty fucking plug and play. I mean, the next three are just kind of the duh picks that you never know what happens. You never know. There could be trades or things. Teams do weird shit. But, I mean, just with how bad they need a wideout, how bad Tennessee needs an anchor on the offensive line, and how bad, you know, Atlanta needs anything but offense right now, which could be really funny if they just took a wide receiver anyway. That would be the best thing to happen, is Atlanta just goes wide receiver. So screw it, we don't need a defense. But I did put Neighbors, Joe Alt, the Notre Dame offensive tackle, and then Dallas Turner, your edge from Alabama in at those next three. And then, like I said, the Bears make a couple people's decisions, because if they pass on Roma Dunze, the Jets are just going to take him. So I don't see why they wouldn't. They have a few needs, but if the Bears opt for offensive line, which I don't think they would, but there's some people, you know, saying they have multiple needs. You never know what they're going to do. It is the Bears. It is polls. But I penciled in Adunze and then Olu Fashanu, Notre Dame, or excuse me, Penn State tackle for the Jets, which okay. I mean, it's such a good fit too. They need okay. They need some help for their old ass quarterback. Got to protect him.
Yeah, we have three tackle. The three F tackles are all 10, 11, 13 in your mock, which is fun. A lot of tough names to pronounce, a lot of similar names. Joe Alt as OL1. What's your degree of confidence there?
Like 80-20, because it's so early.
Wow.
Like everybody says
80%.
Yes.
80% they take tackle, 20% that it's Joe.
No, like 80% that they take Joe Alt.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's very high.
I haven't heard anyone make a decent case for, you know, him not being the guy. The track record of Notre Dame offensive linemen, the track record of, you know, just taking a guy that high from that university, it's good. Like, okay. You know, all the other guys are good. There's not a huge gap, but I've come to believe there's a gap between him and the next three. So
okay.
All right. Right, so now I just haven't heard somebody, you know, if somebody makes a case, or if you hear something through the, you know, the wires, for sure. But right now everybody just has them there.
Okay. This is a pretty non-controversial top 10. And in fact, I would almost go to,
so no, I didn't change the first nine.
Yeah. I would almost go as far as say the top 10 you got here is pretty wisdom of the crowdsy, in a ways. Do you think we'll start seeing over-unders on these guys in the top 10 that reflect this sort of thinking? Like, if I'm opening a J.J. McCarthy over-under at this point, it's 5.5, right? Or 4.5?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. The same thing with Alt. You open it at 7.5, juice it -200 to the under, and see who bites.
Okay. How about Neighbors? 6.5, juice to the under? Because there's a chance he is the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
It's a non-zero chance, but it's low. Yeah.
There were a few. I was going to say, I don't know how they've been updated, but Stations out in Vegas did open a few. They opened Alt at over 5.5, -125. I don't think there are limits. I know. It's not a good number.
What?
I don't know if that's current. I'm going to go check.
That is a bad line.
Yeah, I don't see
how much will they take and sit on for a month out of curiosity, because that's you're literally dodging that. You're dodging the scenario. Oh,
it is 7.5. It's up to 7.5. I'm looking. Okay. So I should shout out a friend, Vegas Refund. He's grabbed some of these numbers. So that opened 5.5. It went to 7.5. And now that it's up, you know, people are betting that under. I'm sure somebody got some openers.
Somebody got the middle.
Sitting on a stupid middle where they just have to, you know, the most common thing to happen has to happen. Same thing.
Yeah. They're like, Dallas Turner. My middle has an 80% chance to hit. Yeah.
Dallas Turner's at 8.5 too, where it's just like, you know.
I was just going to say, Dallas Turner, you open him at 8.5 and you juice the hell out of the under. Yeah. Odunze, you open him at 9.5 and juice the hell out of the under. Because that was a little tricky. Maybe that's 9.5 and it's flat, because he's either going 9 or 10.
I make it 9.5. I juice it to the over.
Juice to the over. Okay.
A little bit. Like,
you think he's only out in the top 9 is Chicago at 9?
You're not seeing people put him on the same level as the other two guys right now.
Okay. And then
just, and the Falcons taking another wide receiver in the top 10 would be, I mean, hilarious, but it doesn't seem likely. They really need to take a defensive player.
Okay.
You know, there's cases for two or three other guys there, but again, it is a wisdom of the crowd thing. Placeholder for me, Dallas Turner.
Okay. And you don't think Chicago swings on tackle at 9? They find another bookend to go with Darnell Wright from last year, and they say, we got our two tackles and our quarterback figured out for the next 5-10 years.
There's a case to be made for them to take Turner if the Falcons do something silly. I would, if Turner's on the, you know, even with the edge player they signed from Washington, if Turner is on the, you know, what I almost said on the block, like if he's available, because the Falcons did something strange there, which, I mean, the Falcons could, they could take, you know, a wide receiver, I guess it'd be goofy, but I would think they would take a defensive player at that point.
Okay.
Maybe not. It gets real goofy in 8, 9, 10. We have this every year. This is where
the draft starts, Andy.
Or 13, where we have a Raiders team that traditionally does something okay. stupid.
Final comment from you on the top 10, sending a tackle to the Jets. This is a Jets team that, since the last time we talked, has invested a lot in their O-line. They now have Teron Smith at left tackle. They have Morgan Moses at right tackle. They brought in John Simpson at left guard. They have 2/5 of last year's starting amazing Baltimore offensive line. And then Tippmann and AVT round out the 5. We think realistically a top 10 swing on a tackle. Is that to backfill Teron Smith, who you think is a 1-year shot, or is this about, you know, just best player available?
It is kind of best player available. And like, that's another guy where, hey, this could be your long-term answer at left tackle. And I know you don't have a long-term answer at quarterback, but yeah, I mean, it's not like Smith has been terribly reliable as far as health either.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you'd play him over Moses.
Okay.
That's the thing. Moses hasn't been healthy either. You have 2 big names that you signed for tackles, but you have guys that haven't played a ton of their games. So
yeah,
I still like it.
Okay. I don't take any exception really to your top 10. I think this is all very, very real, reasonable. I am curious if there's no, like, the idea of the top 3 wide receivers and then there's a little bit of a gap. Is that fair to say among the talent evaluating pool in the public space?
Yeah, and I had a little trouble with this too because of the, you know, there's a little gap, but then there's a lot of good receivers still. A lot of guys with, you know, certain skill sets or, you know, did certain things at the combine or now at some of their pro days, where I'm starting to wonder about, like, how do teams value a position like that? And I had this written down too. Same thing with offensive line. How do you value a position like this when the class is deep? One, because the offensive line class is deep.
Okay.
But at the same time, there's so many teams that need them. Like, you have 2 different factors kind of working against each other. Hey, there's a lot of other guys we could trade back. We could wait. But then you have to know, like, hey, there's like 9 teams in the next 15 picks that really could use, you know, a guy that could play inside, outside, a guy that, you know, or, you know, that, hey, there's 3 teams coming up. 2 of them need centers. Like, you might not get another shot at this guy. You might be drafting the West Virginia center next round. Like, it's, you know, it's a goofy bit of calculus here because I looked at it right away. I'm like, man, there's so many good offensive linemen. And then you start sussing out all the draft needs. Like, man, 15 teams need offensive linemen really bad. And the same thing goes for, you know, wide receiver. Everybody needs a wide receiver right now. The same thing for a lot of the teams that need defense need corners. So I wonder if later in this round, someone's getting screwed if you make an over wide receivers bet, if you make an over offensive lineman bet, if you make an over cornerbacks bet. It feels like one of those could cash, but one or two of those is getting screwed. If anything weird, like, I don't think we're seeing a running back or anything that crazy because of that class right now, but, you know, if a safety goes, if we get a linebacker that somebody likes quite a bit, if there's an off-ball guy, if there's, you know, if there's a few more edge players than we thought, suddenly, you know, we're not getting that 10th offensive lineman because, you know, the next maybe 8 through 15 are a lot closer than we think. And you can go get the I can't think of the other Washington lineman's name. His first name and his last name are very similar, though. It'll come to me. Roger Rosengarten. Like you can get like a Roger Rosengarten on day two. You could get, you know, do we reach or do we take Kingsley Suamataya from BYU? You know,
yeah.
These guys are like they're kind of lumped in with the back half of the first round offensive linemen.
I see.
And you wonder what teams are going to value at that point. Like, hey, we can wait, we can wait. And that's where, you know, picks 20 through 32 are so hard every year.
Okay.
Or 20 through 31 last year.
Okay. Let me kind of rip rapid fire then 11 through 20. And I'm going to ask you some critical questions here. You have Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State, going to LA. I'm assuming your decision was wide receiver or tackle here. And because the top three wide receivers off the board, you send them a tackle. Okay. You have the Broncos taking the first cornerback off the board and Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. I mean, they got Patrick Surtain the second. They really need another quarter. I mean, they kind of need a quarterback. They kind of need a lot of things. And I mean, Denver's, if you were like, hey, who are the top two teams picking next year in the draft? It's the Patriots and the Broncos, in my opinion. But we'll get to
that. I gotta find what I didn't put notes on everyone, but I did put a note on this one. I gotta find this. It was basically like, I think they should trade this pick.
Okay.
I'm not gonna pencil in a trade, but yeah, because they need a quarterback.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of their other needs are so secondary or tertiary. It's like, man, what are you doing with this spot at this point? Like, you should absolutely trade this back and then take you know, Knicks and Penix.
Like your Broncos team needs are literally like everything, right?
Everyone, yeah.
Everything. They need everything. Okay. So they could, that 12 is an absolute fill in, you know, wild card spot. You have the Raiders taking a tackle. So the Raiders are sticking with their quarterback room in your mock.
Yeah, again, I don't think you can justify some people penciling this in. I don't think you can justify either of, you know, Knicks and Penix in like the top 15. Quarterback's a different, you know, quarterback's a different beast where somebody's going to talk themselves into it, but I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah,
both of those teams should trade back.
Okay.
Although, boy, it would be nice to have, God, who's the Colton Miller? Who's the tackle they have?
Yes, Raiders. Colton Miller.
It would be nice to have both your tackles settled for when you get a, because it could
be right now. Your right tackle is Thayer Munford Jr., who was a seventh round pick in 2022.
If you stick with these spots and just build, like you said, the Broncos could be drafting top five. Raiders kind of could be too if they just decide not to figure out quarterback. Get a bookend tackle. Fuck it.
Okay, kick it into the future. The Saints are taking a interior defensive lineman. So this is our third defensive player off the board. If you're keeping track at home, Byron Murphy the second.
The Ramchek news kind of made me want to take a tackle here, but sometimes it works out where five of them are off the board or whatever, and or four, and it's like, shit. What do we do?
Okay. Just take into you. The defense needs the Saints, man. The Saints are in weird dire straits right now. The talent holes on that roster are aggressive. They need more draft picks. They need more money. They need a lot of things. You have Brock Bowers going 15th to the Colts. Ooh, that is a fun one. Anthony Richardson and Brock Bowers as a marriage. That's fun, man. That's a fun one. Now, is this because you have a Spidey sense, or is this literally just like football hardo porn?
A little of both, but I mean, it is a bit of a need. I think I'm not super sure. Like, what is it? Moelle Cox and like Jelani Woods. Is there tight end room right now? Richardson should be back healthy. He's running around. He's practicing. He's fine. But like Pittman, Pierce, Downs, and then, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Evan Hall. Like you have the offense kind of there. You have some pieces on the offensive line. You can definitely, you know, shore that up. But another offensive piece would be a lot of fun because, I mean, considering the coach, considering what we saw in limited glimpses of Anthony Richardson, I mean, this is kind of wish casting. But at the same time, like Bowers is such an enigma here for where he's going to go. People have him, you know, some people have him like, oh, the Jets can take him. Some people have him dropping into the 20s. You know, he's all over the place because
the value,
he's a tight end.
Tight end. Yeah, the value of the tight end position is well covered across the space. You don't need us to break it down for you. But so suffice to say, you know, what you get out of drafting a tight end in round one from a contractual standpoint, even if you hit on that player, is not good enough to warrant them taking really in the top half of the draft. 15 is borderline enough, and he's an impact player enough that I'm listening to it, and I would love to see that pairing.
It's the most fun pick for sure.
Okay. The Seahawks at 16, you have them taking Jared Verse, edge from Florida State. No opinion here, but is this coming at all from our friend Rob, who is plugged into the Seahawks?
Haven't taken in much of Stanton's stuff yet. It's on my list. I have so much stuff to read. I have a long car ride this Saturday for Easter stuff, so I'm gonna catch up on. He's on the list of stuff, but it's another one where they lost their guard. Like, they need interior help, but the value there's a little dicey. They could, you know, they could bump a guy in and take a tackle.
Yeah,
man, it's like the Minnesota guy. I can never say his name. Boye Mafe, kind of working out, but they need a lot of help up front. It would, you know, how much draft and, you know, just capital in general did they put into this defensive secondary? They need the link. You know, you need the pass rush to go with those young guys. So I kind of like this spot for them.
Okay. No disagreement that the Jags are in the cornerback market. No disagreement that the Bengals are in the tackle market. Fill in your player of choice there.
We should read it for the podcast, guys. Arnold, Alabama. J.C. Latham, Alabama. And then Latu.
Which leads us to the Rams. So haven't talked
this
about the Rams.
This is tough. I told you this before you get into it. I told you I had a corner here in version one, but they signed a corner. Still doesn't mean they couldn't add to that room, but it is kind of trenches for them, right?
It's got to be trenches and got to be defense. We haven't talked football since the Aaron Donald retirement. The new biggest winner of the free agency period was probably the Niners because of the Aaron Donald retirement. The Rams were going to challenge you for a home playoff run. And probably avoided that with the Darnold, with the Donald retirement, I think. And that's going to matter. Latu is an injury guy, right? Like, he's slid to this point because people are concerned about his health. Is that right?
There's a couple injury guys.
Injury red flag guy.
What was the other one I had?
Actually, I like that you put him to the Rams because the Rams swung on a couple injury guys and hit grand slams.
I had something for him. So it was, he had the neck surgery, but it's been a couple years.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like a major neck surgery, though. They like fused some vertebrae. I'm going to have to dig in on that. You got me thinking about that.
Yeah. Like, where does Puka Nacua get drafted if they redraft last year's draft? Like, top 10?
Top 5.
Top 5.
Name a quarterback that got drafted outside of the one that, you know, I guess.
Outside of CJ Stroud,
Edgar Stroud, Richardson. Are we doing a screeching halt?
Well, I'm just curious. Yeah, he's got to be top 5, right? Maybe top 10, surely. Maybe top 5, I think.
I would say fifth is pretty fair because, you go Stroud, you go Richardson, you go maybe like Witherspoon, Will Anderson.
Maybe, Jalen Carter, maybe. Yeah.
I'd put him ahead of Robinson. I'd put him ahead against like any of the tackles.
Sure.
It's close with like Jahmyr Gibbs. Maybe I'm trying to think of another top 10? Sam LaPorta goes in the top 10. Marvin Mims is probably like top 15 because
Kobe Turner
actually plays. Tank Bigsby, he's up there. Tank Bigsby was like day 3, day 4.
Yeah.
Mekhi Blackman.
Yeah. Okay. Point being, Rams not necessarily going to be shy taking an injury guy.
They do what they do.
Steelers taking center Jackson Powers Johnson. I kind of want to put that one in pen.
You do this every year with the Steelers?
I know. The Steelers the Steelers pick in the 20s and they telegraph their picks so early every year. This one feels like a done deal.
If the Seahawks don't snag him and decide they want to go interior offensive line, because I think he could be a fine guard too. It's kind of a pen where it's just, hey, you don't have a center. Like, it's a vital position that you're going to need. It's kind of, you're in the 20 spot. You're not reaching for an interior guy at this point. Like, it is a really nice marriage.
Yeah. Okay. The Dolphins, you have taking a defensive player, D lineman, D interior D lineman, Jerzon Newton of Illinois. I'll take your word for it. I've never heard of him. You have the Eagles taking a cornerback in Clemson's Nate Wiggins. So this is now maybe where, the part of the draft where you're just like, you know what? Good enough defensive players are still around that these teams are going to swing. And honestly, Dolphins and Eagles taking round one D, I think you could probably put that in pen. I don't think either of those teams is trying to build through offense in this draft.
The coverage unit sucked. They got CJ GJ back, right?
The Eagles did, yes.
Yeah, so they got CJ GJ back. Slay might be washed.
Old.
Like Bradbury's kind of old.
Old also.
They can still play. And Christ, if there's some guys you want to learn under, that's a nice marriage too. I like.
Yeah, that. I think you hit that one on the head. I know that they've been like kicking around edge, but I don't think there's an edge talented enough to be going over corner at this point. So I think you got that one. I don't know if it'll be Nate Wiggins, but taking a cornerback seems right there.
A sneaky pick for the Eagles too would be the next wide receiver.
Well, so that's the thing is that this feels convenient. Draft. This feels somewhat convenient that the fourth best wide receiver just happens to be sitting there for the Chargers after they traded with the Vikings. And so the Chargers kind of have made their bet on tackle and that they would still get a wide receiver, and they have
worked out
for them in this mock.
But I'm saying the Eagles could just say fuck the defense.
Yeah. So if we're hanging, if we're hanging an over under on Brian Thomas, it's what, 22.5?
Yeah, that's probably fair.
He's not going, because you don't want to set it at 23 when you know his backstop is 23.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like either the Texas boys or Keon Coleman or, you know, what's past that, like Ladd McConkey. It doesn't feel like any of those guys currently have a chance to jump to be that fourth receiver.
Okay.
It really does look like there's kind of, he's in a tier of his own. He's going to end up somewhere in this 15 to 25 range. And yeah, I put him there.
Okay. You're sending Georgia tackle Amarius Mims to Dallas. That also feels like a very, very, very good marriage. We got to have a whole Dallas. What in the fuck?
If they don't take an offensive lineman, like what do they take? Like if there's a run on them and they just don't like anyone, you could take a defensive lineman. They need help over there too, but their next biggest need outside of the trenches is like running back.
Yeah.
And taking a run at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, you trade back if there's no one you like, but yeah. I would take the best available tackle.
I agree. And Amarius Mims would be that guy, I'm assuming. He Amarius Mims is the guy who's literally just like two human being size, right?
It's like axe handle wide.
Okay. Graham Barton from tackle from Duke going to Green Bay. If you're keeping track at home, this is the seventh tackle, and we're only in the 25 range. Interesting, you know, and actually a center, we have a center as well. So we're up to eight, O-linemen with, seven to go here. So if you're playing over 9.5, which is what they opened the over under for offensive linemen, that's going to be a sweat.
It's going to be a little sweaty.
Barton, it's either 9 or 10, right?
Barton's good ACC guy, played a lot. I never know, like, these middle of the pack ACC teams, but he can play like all the positions is what they're saying. He's very versatile. Green Bay has that. I don't know. I don't want to call it a preference. They like guys like that who can move around. I think you'd play him inside, but at that point, you know, it's just linemen, OL, we'll call them linemen. They can do whatever they want with them. I like that fit a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, that you can say what you want about Duke being a middling ACC team, but they were the winners of the 76 Birmingham Bowl at Protective Stadium. So keep that in mind.
I forget. We're talking to a Duke alumnus.
Chop Robinson, That's feels a little early for him going to the
Bucks. It is. It is. I know. I wanted to get a little squirrely because I wasn't. I knew I wasn't going to make many changes to my top 10. I knew I wasn't, but I did want to kick a few guys out that I just wasn't feeling from Mach 1.
Okay.
And when you kick somebody out, you got to move some people up. I had Chop a little lower. But at this point, Tampa's in a weird spot because they need maybe a linebacker. Probably a little early to take an off-ball guy. Like, who's your best off-ball linebacker at this point? It's not a spot. And at
there
this
is
point,
no off-ball linebackers in the top 50, according to the talent scouts.
So you've got your tackles as well, but they need interior help. So at this point, the Steelers have taken the best center. The Packers have just taken the other guy that can kick inside easily. You know, at this point, it's a little bit of a drop off to some of the guys that you might want to play in interior offensive line. So all of their needs are kind of in a goofy spot. And I did struggle with this one. And I'm like, man, they might just have to go defensive line here. And it might just be Chop because they, you know, they need to do something on the edge.
I think they got Shaq Barrett, and that might be it. Yeah, they're in the edge in the cornerback market, one of the two. And taking an edge there wouldn't shock me.
I looked at Cooper as well.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean, you have going to the Cardinals at 27. Amazing that the Cardinals traded out of that pick for Will Anderson, and this is what their reward, Cooper DeJean, cornerback from Iowa.
You better hope Cooper DeJean works.
You better hope he works.
Their cornerback room was young and terrible. And
yeah.
It's a super big need for them.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Bears traded out of one last year, and your reward is Caleb Williams. Unbelievable. Yeah. Although we can argue that they probably should have stayed and taken CJ Stroud, and we would have a better future. Anyway, this one, 28 to the Bills, you have is a little controversial. You're sending Tyler Nubbin, safety out of Minnesota, to the Bills. I think if a safety goes round one, it's going to feel like a reach. Is that crazy?
It is. This is a reach for sure.
Okay.
At the same time, they're kind of, you know, they're in one of those same spots where what else they need? They need a wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, there's some guys there, but do you take one of those? How do you feel like if one of those Texas wide receivers or somebody in that, you know, we need a name for this middling range between like 20 and 40. If somebody in that spot is like taking multiple meetings and they like him, it's like, oh, maybe we could see a lot of people have the Buffalo Bills mocked to a wide receiver. They're another team that could use interior help. They also could use a center. I think maybe that's probably their second round pick. They might be eyeing up that, you know, I'd be looking at that Frazier, I think, from West Virginia. There's a few centers to be had in day two, but man, this is a tough one too. If they don't take a wide receiver, like I could see them reaching here because I mean, it was a position group they struggled at a lot. They had a lot of injuries. They did sign Mike Edwards from Buffalo. That's a short-term signing though too, and I don't know if that's a fix. Like at this point, like DeMar Hamlin is full-ass second string. He's like your third best safety. Yeah. So it's not great. Yeah. It's a reach,
his confidence has been crushed because he didn't win comeback for the year. Yes.
Like one guy I've watched.
Okay. I won't question it, but I will say
it's,
that I'll
no, I mean, you're right. It's a reach.
And honestly, just I'm curious what in the world the Bills are going to do with the wide receiver position. If they do nothing and stand pat with this room, that tells you that they feel like Stephon Diggs was dealing with an injury that was unreported as opposed to Stephon Diggs is done. Because Diggs, Shakir, Curtis Samuel, I don't know that I love getting it done with that group. If it's last year's second half of the year Diggs. Keep watching that space very closely. Very interested to see what happens at 28. Interested to see what happens at 29 because the Lions are apparently all in.
Why wouldn't you just do the thing that gets you over the top?
Yeah. I mean, but they took speed with Jameson Williams, though. You think that when they've kind of decided that that's not going to work out or at least not going to hit the high that they expect, and you think they go back to speed here? Because Adonai Mitchell, he's the guy that went like the 4-2, right?
He is quick. They have weird needs too. So they could use a safety. Obviously, like a slot corner would be helpful too. They lost CJGJ. But, you know, an outside guy, you know, would be useful. what's his name? I can't think of the best receiver on their damn team. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
He works inside quite a bit. Like a speedy outside guy might open up him a little more. So I don't know what the Lions went completely off script. Like if the Lions take a quarterback here, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like they just do whatever they want. And it's, there's a level of hubris to having a draft like that where what your first, like four of your first five picks really hit.
Yeah.
I mean, the linebacker, the safety, the running back and the
tight end. Did the linebacker hit?
I mean, he hit enough. He played, okay. He worked. Like those guys started and contributed to a team that made a deep playoff run. So like there, it's almost like that Saints draft where everything hit. And then, they're just going to do whatever they want because they think they have the blueprint at this point. It's gotcha. Like when you drink enough and you start bowling good, and they go, oh, I'm going to keep drinking. I got bowling figured out. And then all of a sudden you're fucked up and you can't bowl anymore.
I told you that happened to me. Like, that happened to me in the last month. I was like, I had like four straight strikes to start out of frame. And I was like, I'm going, this is happening. Like, this is the 300 is happening. And then, and then I drank past the strike point and it was not happening.
And then Icarus had one more beer.
Yes, not good. I love, first of all, I love how the chat
What would you do if you're
super
the Lions?
Engaged in the Miami Open quarterfinals right now? Alexandrova did manage to oust a connection to the Bills, Jess Pegula, Bills owner's daughter, no longer in the field. She has been ousted. Alexandrova takes out Iga and Pegula back to back. Daniel freaking Collins is probably going to the final, where hopefully Rybakina takes care of business. But freaking Collins is playing good tennis this year, and she is on. She's playing with the house money because she's retiring after this year. So would be a cool story, I guess, but it would cost me money. So I'm going to hope she does not take home the Miami Open. Final couple thoughts here.
So Adonai Mitchell, in case we didn't actually, I think we said his name, to the Lions. Fun outside speedster, I guess. I don't know. That's such a tough pick. All these ones at the end are tough. The Ravens and the Niners could use some help on the offensive line. You know, obviously outside of the one Hall of Famer, the Niners really could use some help. It gets tough because there's kind of a mishmash of linemen here where it's tough to say which ones are going to be, you know, the end of the round guys, because I do believe these last three spots, if at least one, I'd say the over under is 1.5 for offensive linemen going to the three last teams.
Yeah.
So I did go Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma to the Ravens. I went Jordan Morgan from Arizona to the Niners, and then the Chiefs. I went Chris Braswell, another Bama player. That'll be interesting if there's like a Bama prop or an SEC prop, which there usually is. But
Kansas City,
like, how would you describe their needs? They did sign Marquise Brown, wide receiver was massive.
The funny thing is,
use some help on the off or the defensive line, even though they got, you know, they did retain Chris Jones, but that could be something they could help with. I did have that Jerzon Newton from Illinois going here in my first mock. Other people have looked at other defensive interior guys or, you know, even edge. But it's so hard with these teams because you can, it's like a luxury pick, right?
You probably try to backfill Snead here. You take best cornerback or edge, one of the two. I would actually say that this, your mock draft has broken poorly for the Chiefs just based on who's available.
I would
also say it broke poorly for the Chiefs because the other thing the Chiefs could do with pick 32 is trade down and trade it to someone who wants to come and grab QB5 and have them have the fifth year option for QB5. And that would presumably be the Raiders or the Broncos. And you're not necessarily trading in division to give your division rival their quarterback of the future for 5 years. So you got to hope maybe that, like, I don't know, the Giants want to come up and get a quarterback at this point with 32.
It's funny too, Drew, because it shouldn't be a tough pick. But like you said, I kind of boxed myself by doing the little bit of a tackle run. Because they could use a tackle, but at this point, two good ones just went off the board. So suddenly you lose some value there. They could probably use a corner, but at this point, your best one is probably Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is, you know, some people are saying that's not a first round, you know, cornerback at this point. Maybe they reach the Michigan guy. I can't say his name. Mike Sainristal. There's a couple of Kamari Lassiter. Some people have him or the Missouri guy. There's some corners that when you're drafting 32 and you have a Super Bowl trophy, you don't have to listen to anybody's shit if you reach for a guy that other people have. It's like, you know, hey, he's 45th on my big board. Look what they did. Like, it doesn't matter. Hey, this is a position we need. We think this guy, we have more time to like look intently at the cornerbacks that might be left, at the tackles that might be left, at the defensive linemen that might be left. But yeah, the way I penciled out the rest of the draft, it kind of, like you said, it broke poorly for them.
It did.
Poor Chiefs.
Yeah. I'm sweating this Magic second half against the Warriors, man. I can't believe the Warriors or the Magic haven't taken advantage of no Draymond Green and this terrible, terrible rest spot for the Warriors. This is killing me here. Kind of final thoughts. Let's give people some alpha, a bet to be made. Do not look at any market. Do not look at any market. Okay. I need a sincere, just gut check, gut opinion. The first wide running back off the board will be who?
I don't even know. I have spent no time looking at it. Is it like Corum?
I'm asking. You don't have a read?
I haven't even looked at running back rankings for anyone. I think Corum or like who's the Texas guy? God, this is how low these guys are coming in. Like, I'm going to pull up a ranking here. Corum is the third running back. He is 75th. On PFF's big board. That's what I pulled up right now.
Who's
Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks. There we go. Texas. Jalen Wright, Tennessee.
Who's the kid from Florida State?
Trey Benson. He is their fifth. He is 86th on the big board. The Notre Dame kid is 8th, 114th. Not a strong running back class. Yeah, I picked the third guy. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Blake Corum is plus 345. Jonathan Brooks is plus 180. Jalen Wright is plus 250. Trey Benson is plus 400. Nate Tice said Trey, the Florida State kid, was the only running back in his top 50.
The when you have stuff like this where none of the guys are first-round talent or maybe even second-round talent for that case, there is some shots to be taken. If you can link one of these guys who's like, you know, fourth or fifth on the consensus big boards to a team that might reach for him, you can get a 4 or 5 to 1 first running back. I think we're going to take some shots on running back. I think you hit something good there.
Did you come across any teams with running back need?
Yeah. Like we said, Dallas, and Dallas has been known to do silly things because of who they let make decisions. You know, they don't always play by the book. So maybe Dallas, you know, that's kind of that second round, 40th.
Okay.
Dallas would be drafting like what, 50? What is their second pick?
Running back. Okay. First thing that comes up when I Google Dallas running back draft, blogging the boys, Cowboys draft 2024, 56. Running back Trey Benson could be a day two steal. I think we're playing Trey Benson 4 to 1 here for first running back drafted. And I think we're hoping that nobody takes a running back before the Cowboys at that 50 something pick.
56 is their
56. Okay. Trey Benson, first running back off the board at 56. This is my first draft bet. There's been perilously little to bet on. It's been quite a depressing cycle so far. If you really love to bet on the draft, 4 to 1 Benson is in the account. Okay, let's go. Yeah, Trey Benson.
I'm trying to look at another team that really could use a running back. It's tough. Like there aren't. It might just be Dallas, man. Other teams are gonna, you know, build up depth there because that's what you do. You get 2 or 3 young guys and hope that one of them works out. But I like it. I'll join you on that. I like that.
Okay. Especially if this wins, I got a hat tip to blogging the boys for kind of connecting the dots here. And a hat tip to Nate Tice, who said this was the only top 50 running back on the board.
I like Nate Tice, but a lot of it is because I've adopted him as a Minnesotan. I mean, he grew up here when Pops was playing.
I don't know if you know this, but Trey Benson tied for the 12th fastest player in all of college football last year. He clocked in an official 4.39 second 40-yard dash.
We're going to speak this into and it's almost like the, you know, this is another kind of last thing for me because it's a similar bet.
Oh, let's go, Magic. Steal this game. The amount of conviction
that you heard in my voice for like picks 20 through 32.
Yeah, it was like, a lot of conviction. I just bet everything just based on that. Yeah.
No, I mean, there were some, but just like through, it's like, all right, it's the Eagles. They could use a corner. This is the best corner I have available. Like, some of this stuff is going to get weird. Like, the Patriots, you know, they drafted the Chattanooga guy. We end up with some, you know, we reached, nobody's reaching for a running back in the first round, but there's going to be somebody that's really, really needs an off-ball linebacker, and they don't give a shit that the value just isn't there. It's going to be somebody that, you know, might take Tyler Nubbin. There's going to be something that gets goofy. So just, you know, kind of similar to the running back bet that we were talking about that we made, there's going to be some guys that have these decent numbers for, like, to go day one that are in this range that you could probably make a case for. You know, it's, you're going to play some losing bets, but you're going to place them at like 2 or 3 to 1 on some of these guys that are, you know, maybe a little closer to 50-50, somebody talking them into.
Okay. Yeah, the Raiders, who is the most Raiders running back? That's also a good. Well, this is 12th fastest guy in football. If that's not a Raider, I don't know who is. Sounds like a Raider to me. I mean, the ghost of Al Davis.
Sounds like the autumn wind.
Ghost of Al Davis is going to run to the podium to put in Trey Benson for the Raiders at the top of round two.
Alexander Mattison.
Yeah. He's a feature back, Andy.
Samir White. I think Samir White's probably top of their depth chart right now.
Oh, Steph Curry just continues to just.
I bet against Steph Curry and he makes long shots.
He's the worst. Cole Anthony. I don't know why we're drawing up plays for Cole Anthony at the end of this game. What are we fucking doing?
That is.
God damn it. Why in the world is Cole Anthony even in the closing fucking group? God damn
Amir,
it.
Did Amir Abdullah play for Nebraska?
No, this sucks. Steph Curry just burying 26-foot three-pointers. He's like, okay, this is an important game for us to win, so I'm just going to go nuclear. Bye-bye. Ugh.
Dead.
Unbelievable.
All these guys used to play for the Vikings, I feel like. So, all right. Well, we're going to let Drew go catch the end of the NBA here. I'm going to go.
It's not worth watching.
I'm going to go do some. I'm going to look at some of these secondary, tertiary. I like to use the word tertiary when I say secondary, and I mean, you know, way further down than that. I am going to look at some wide receivers in the second round because I, you know, the betting options, markets that they put up for day two have been a lot better. Like, we all complain they don't put stuff up early enough. They don't, but they've put up a lot more day two stuff, and I think we've been ill-prepared for some of that. For some of those secondary over-unders that go up. So I'm going to start digging into these wide receivers, running backs, and some of these day two guys a little bit. That'll be a fun way to kill some time while we're waiting for the tournament to start again. Go UConn, go Creighton, go Zona. I think those are my winners in the brackets that are still alive.
Okay.
Drew? Players. Oh, I got one thing. Quick.
Hit me.
Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the subscribe bell. Did you see that video? I just stole that from somewhere. So
well done.
Yeah. If you haven't, please subscribe. Appreciate it. If you do, and a real quick note to anyone who takes in the golf content, put the golf content from Bet Sports Golf on this channel because we're lazy and I already had this YouTube channel. That's a bad thing to do for like YouTube to help you grow. You should always specialize on a YouTube channel. You don't want painting and pasta. You want painting and you want pasta on a different channel. So I know it's sports, but we are starting, and I already started a new YouTube channel for Bet Sports Golf. So if you do watch those and you're like, hey, where did those go? I'll post some links. Obviously, it's going to be on the Bets vs. Golf Twitter channel. That is a separate YouTube channel starting Monday, just as a little bit of a PSA. Appreciate you guys. Thanks to Drew for grilling me. If you want to see this mock draft, you can subscribe to the Deep Dive newsletter. Those links are in my Twitter handle bio. Bye, guys.
Because in your fart videos and the same channel, you disaster.
The thing is still killing me.
Disaster.
Oh, I was told.